second afternoon session, and Aitor is going to tell us about progress towards proof of the covariant holographic entanglement entropy formula.
Thanks. Well, it's a pleasure to be back here at Perimeter where I did my master's and I had an amazing year. So I'd like to begin by thanking the organizers for inviting me to give this talk and for organizing such a nice conference. So today I'd like to talk about some ongoing work with Shidong and Mukun Rangamani. As Mark said, it's about trying to prove the HRT formula using similar methods to how we prove the Rita Kainagi formula. And hopefully this will be out at some point this year. So I'd like to begin by just saying what everyone has been saying so far. What is entanglement entropy? We are going to pick a T=0 slice, some space-like slice, and we are going to divide our space-like slice into two regions, A and A bar. And then to compute entanglement entropy, we just have to compute the von Neumann entropy of the reduced density matrix in A. As we all probably know, this is very hard to compute in general. In quantum field theories, using this formula, one can only compute it by putting the theory on the lattice and computing the density matrix explicitly. And then maybe one can try to do some tricks or use some symmetries to try to compute it in some particular cases. So in general, when we think about this formula in CFTs, we think about the replica trick because this provides us with a geometrical we just have to compute the partition function of the theory in a different geometry, and it's a little bit simpler for us to think about it in that way. But surprisingly, in the ADS CFT context, this quantity has a much more simpler appearance. So as it was shown by Rion Takagi and Agi, we can compute entanglement entropy in a static spacetime by just computing the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy of a co-dimension two surface, which ends in the region that we are interested in the boundary. So because there are many surfaces which end in this region, they instructed us to take the minimal surface. And this seemed a little surprising in the beginning. But in the static case, 2 years ago with Juan, we use the an Euclidean path integral formulation of the replica trick in the bulk to derive this Rita Kainagi formula. So there's one main assumption that we use is that we can do the Euclidean path integral as it is, and this relies on the fact that there is a time reflection symmetry in the Lorentzian spacetime, or in other words, that we have a static spacetime. So it's a little bit more general than static, but in general, in a time-dependent geometry, there is no way that we can use the derivation as it was because the time dependence is very complicated and we cannot, we don't have a nice Euclidean picture. I'll derive this later because we rely on that derivation a lot for our construction. So for time-dependent geometries, the metric will be a very non-trivial function of time in general, and then because of this, the Rita Kainagi formula has to be changed because it doesn't make sense to say to compute the co-dimension two surface in a T=0 slice in the bulk because time in the bulk is not well defined where we have a time-dependent geometry. So then what Hubini, Rangamani, and Takayanagi instructed us to do is to instead extremize the co-dimension two surface in two directions. So in a space-like direction perpendicular to the surface and then also in a time-like direction. And again, because time dependence is generic, one cannot use the Euclidean formulation to derive this. So what are the motivations to prove HRT? So the Euclidean formulation has been able to generalize it in several ways. For example, Dong and Kamps showed us how to compute the entanglement entropy for higher derivatives theory by using the same replica trick in Euclidean bulk. Also, we were able to give a formula for how to compute quantum corrections in the bulk. And since this generalization seems to make a lot of sense, it would be nice if we could also understand the time-dependent case in a similar way. Also, because we use an Euclidean formulation, the Lorentzian interpretation is a little bit obscure, and maybe it would be nice to have a clear picture in that sense. And last but not least, having a Lorentzian interpretation of this maybe it can help us understand better what people mean when they say when they talk about subregion-subregion duality. In other words, how a subregion in the boundary is encoded in the bulk. So let me proceed to the field theory construction. So in the field theory, to describe first we would like to compute the density matrix, and to compute the density matrix in let's consider a quantum mechanical system in the beginning, let's consider a pure state with a loss of generality, and for a pure state we will to construct the evolution of density matrix with a Hamiltonian, then we'll have to double the amount of fields, and this is what is called the Schwinger-Keldysh contour or the Schwinger-Keldysh formalism. And in quantum mechanics, this is something that we are very used to see. Rho of t is given by a unitary applied in rho of zero, and it's a conjugate applied in the ket and in the bra. Sorry, and normally in quantum field theory, in high energy theory, we are not that used to see Schwinger-Keldysh contours. Sometimes we see them when people want to compute real time correlators. But it's actually, if we want to have a path integral description of density matrices, this is actually the way that one should formulate it. And this was shown to us by Feynman and Vernon. So this Schwinger-Keldysh contour is the way to naturally formulate the problem. So now what we would like to compute is to have a path integral prescription to compute the Renyi entropy. And then at the end, we would like to, so the Renyi entropy is defined for integer Q. And we would like to end up analytically continuing this function in Q and computing the entanglement entropy by setting Q equals one. So in QFTs, instead of having wave functions, we have wave functionals. So we have to think about evolving until some constant time slice, and then putting some boundary conditions for the fields there. And then, for example, gluing or taking traces from this perspective is just summing over boundary conditions. So for example, if we want to compute trace of rho t, we are going to insert the two wave functionals, and then we are going to sum over the fields. So this kind of picture. I have several kind of pictures like this one in my talk, so it's important that you understand what it means. So here, this is the time direction, and this is a space direction. So I'm considering only one space direction for simplicity. And then what we are doing here is, this we think of as a wave functional, and then we are gluing it with its bra, and this computes trace of rho t. Also, in quantum field theory, normally we deal with unnormalized quantities. So in quantum mechanics, this will be trivially one, but here it won't be one. So now we would like to proceed and compute the Renyi entropies. So we can compute the reduced density matrix of region A by just gluing these boundaries fields in the bar A region and leaving the other regions untouched. So this is how the reduced density matrix will look like. So we are integrating over A bar and keeping this region untouched. And then the Renyi entropy will be given by gluing the remaining cuts, gluing them with other replicas. And so in this one, we are gluing with the same replica, but to compute, for example, trace of rho to the two, we are gonna glue this guy with this ket with the bra here and the opposite here. And here I flip this in order for the picture to be more simple. So the setup seems clear, and we have to compute the partition function of this complicated geometry. This geometry, to describe this properly, we'll have to have Q patches in these coordinates. It's kind of complicated, but a priori one could do it. So there's a special player in this geometry, which is the boundary of A. So in some coordinates, you can define them as T equals X equals zero. And this is a codimension two surface, the boundary of the region that we are considering. And in the replicated geometry, this codimension two surface is common to all replicas. So there is a CQ symmetry, which comes from the cyclicity of the trace. And this partially is a fixed point of the CQ symmetry, which means that this is a common codimension to surface in the replicated geometry. Now, alternatively, we can just think of an observer which only has access to the causal domain of A, and this CQ symmetric fixed point will look like a source of local temperature 2πq. So, of course, this state won't be the vacuum unless Q equals 1. So the setup that we have in the field theory will be something like this. We will have what we will do is to think about some Rinner observers which we can think of it as changing the state of the theory. Instead of being the vacuum, we'll think of a state where Rinner observers see a temperature 2πq, or equivalently we can just think of having a complicated replicated geometry. So this is the setup for the field theory. Now let's move on to the gravitational construction. So in gravity, we would like to compute these Rengi entropies in gravity, and to compute them, we have to roughly do two steps. The first step will be to compute rho of t, and do Swinger-Keldysh in the bulk. This is something well understood, and I'll review it later. And then the second step will be to now that we have this density matrix at some finite time, to compute the traces and the ranges in general. This we don't know how to do in the bulk. However, we don't know how to do the traces individually, but because of the Euclidean case, the Euclidean case can give us some guidance as to how to compute the ranges in the bulk. So by mixing the two things, so the only thing that we have to do is to combine the fact that we have Swinger-Keldysh contours and the fact that we know how to solve the problem when we have a C2 symmetry, where we have a static space-time. So what is the dual of these Swinger-Keldysh contours or path integrals? So this the dual of this is very standard. This is what is called these days time folds, and but Skinner van Rees formulated a pretty in length and detail, and they computed correlators in this using gravity, real time correlators using gravity. And the way that one does that is by extending the time contour in the boundary to a time contour in the bulk. So you just extend the bulk along this time contour. And for this, you need a foliation of time, which, as I said, is not unique. But what they showed, for example, is that it doesn't matter what foliation of time you choose, that you will get always the same answer for correlators, which is what they had in mind. So the only thing that one has to do is to just do the usual thing in the bulk until some given space-like slice, and then evolve back. And the boundary conditions for these backgrounds are basically continuity of the fields across sigma naught. So now how does one do the replica trick in the Euclidean case? So in the Euclidean case, what I said before, the boundary conditions in the field theory will be to compute the Rengi entropies will be to introduce a conical excess around around partial A. And then what one has to do is to look for the bulk solution, which is dual to this geometry in the boundary, and it's worth reviewing because we'll proceed in a similar way. So this tau direction is the direction that moves us through replicas. So we should think of having Q replicas, and as we go, tau goes to tau plus 2π, this moves us to the next replica and so on. This is what I meant with the conical excess. Tau goes to tau plus 2π moves us from one replica to the next. And this is a global shift of tau by 2π. It's just a permutation of the replicas, which is a symmetry because of the cyclicity of the trace. And so this is the geometric expression of this CQ symmetry. And as I said before, the boundary geometry has a CQ symmetric fixed point, which is the boundary of A. And we are gonna assume that the bulk duals to these replicated geometries in the boundary are gonna keep this CQ symmetry. And then if they do, this fixed point in the boundary should extend to the bulk. So this is the picture of what we have in mind. We have that by going around here, you get a conical excess of 2πq, and this point is symmetric with respect to a 2π. This is where this tau circle shrinks to zero, and then this CQ symmetry, we will see that this is strong enough to locate how this fixed point can extend to the bulk. Okay, so we have to look for a dual bulk geometry which is CQ symmetric and is completely smooth. It doesn't have a conical singularity, and then the CQ symmetric fixed point in the bulk will be a particular codimension two surface in the bulk. Now, in general, we'll have to compute the metric, and that's something complicated. But we can begin by studying the metric close to the CQ symmetric fixed point. So it's easy to see that the symmetries, so smoothness and CQ symmetry completely determine what is the expansion of the metric close to the fixed point. So here, r equals zero. So I'm thinking of the replicated geometry here, and r equals zero is this codimension two surface, and these are coordinates adapted to there. And then you can see that the CQ symmetry constraint, normally, if this was an arbitrary codimension two surface, you'll have powers here that will go like r to the one, but the CQ symmetry doesn't allow these powers and only allows powers beginning by r to the q. And just by considering these first terms is enough for our purposes. So this tau direction is predicted with 2πq, but the bulk geometry is completely smooth, so there's some bulk reaction here. So this is the metric close to the CQ symmetric fixed point. Maybe you will think that it wouldn't be that useful, and in general, one for arbitrary q, for finite q, one should this will set up the boundary condition for your problem, but it will be very complicated to construct the complete metric. But we will try to understand the problem close to q equals one, and we'll see that this is enough. So we have these q replicas in the bulk, and we're going to use the replica symmetry to compute the complete action of the bulk, but we can use this replica symmetry to just stick to one replica and compute the action there, and then multiply it by q. So this i hat, we should think as the previous geometry by identifying tau with 2π. So the original geometry is completely smooth, but now we would like to compute this orbifolded geometry, which will be the q equals one geometry, the geometry before you do any replica trick, with an insertion of a codimension two defect that creates a deficit angle 2π over q. So again, the parent space is completely smooth, but we do this trick to be able to analytically continue this metric in q, because the Runge entropies are defined for integer q, and a priori we don't know how to take q to be real. But if we focus in only one replica, then this is much more clear, because from that point of view, the only thing that we are doing is the only way that q appears is by tuning the deficit angle of the close to this fixed point. So this sets up the kinematics. We have to consider the original geometry with a cosmic string inserted somewhere there, and then we have to solve for the equation of motion. So this is the general problem for the ranges, but up to here we haven't used anything about any dynamics. So now one would like to know when are these replicated geometric solutions to the equation of motion, and what is the direction of these geometries. So it's easy to see that this will be a smooth geometry if and only if the CQ symmetric fixed point is an extremal surface. And this can be seen explicitly by computing the Einstein equations in this replicated metric. So then if one computes the action, it's easy to see that the only thing, because q is close to one, the back reaction is very small somehow, and then we only need to know the metric close to the surface, and then the entanglement, it's easy to see that the entanglement entropy will just be given by the area over 40 Newton. So we have seen here the extremality condition, or in this case, the minimality condition, it follows from the equation of motion in the replicated space, and the area functional is it just follows from evaluating the action. So now we would like to do the same thing in real time. So we would like to pick, so we'll first pick a t equals zero surface in the bulk, and the, in general we will have to consider all possible surfaces in t equals zero surface in the bulk, and then we are going to set the boundary conditions for, so we know that the boundary conditions for the fields in the boundary close to partial A are that they will fill a local temperature 2 pi q, and then there is a global CQ symmetry which exchanges the replicas, which exchanges the Schwinger-Keldysh contours, and partial A will be a fixed point with respect to this symmetry. And now we're going to assume again that this CQ symmetry extends to the bulk, and then we will have a fixed point in the bulk which will lie on this space-like slice. So now so this is the setup. The setup is very similar to the previous one. We have these folded contours, and we should imagine having the backward part here, and then close to here in the boundary we are going to have some boundary conditions that this guys feel some local temperature 2 pi q. Here I'm writing this I, but this we don't have to complexify the geometries in any case. This fixed point will extend to the bulk if you assume that the CQ symmetry is preserved in the bulk. And then observers that are close to here will also feel that the boundary conditions are different, and thus the geometry will have to back react. So one should look for the bulk dual to these boundary conditions, which is something very complicated. But as we saw before, doing a local analysis may be enough to get the answer for the entanglement entropy. So in a very similar way to the case before, locally close to this stereosymmetric fixed point, we can expand the metric locally close to there, and then one can see that smoothness and CQ symmetry completely fixes it. And even if this looks very nice, so these are the boundary conditions, but in general, the metric will be very complicated. And for example, one can think of turning on some non-analytic sources in the boundary, but the metric close to the fixed point should still have preserved this form. And to compute the action, one can analytically continue in Q by orbi folding again, which in this case means to consider a non-smooth geometry with local temperature 2 pi over Q. And this sets up the kinematics in a similar way to before. So the original Schindler van Rijn, so the kinematics tells us that to compute the action, what one should do is to consider the original Schindler van Rijn geometry with a defect that changes the local temperature to 2 pi over Q instead of the local 2 pi. So from here, then one just has to pick an action. So that, then for Einstein, the previous analysis gives us the extremality condition, and the action gives us area over 40 Newton. And this gives us HRT with the caveat that the extremal surface has to lie on this space-like slice. So a priori this may seem surprising, but it's actually not. This is what I will explain this now. So not all these space-like slices where we do the replica trick in the bulk are good. They have to be able to accommodate the singularity. And this is, quote unquote, this is telling us somehow like what is the dual of tracing out in the bulk, tracing out in the boundary. So one can only do this in some special space-like slices in the bulk. So those slices which contain the extremal surface, only in these surfaces one can, only in these time slices one can divide sigma into a region that is in A and a region that is in A bar. And this is actually what this is actually what we expect, for example, what we know from the eternal black hole. Only in the eternal black hole, if we have a space-like slice, we can only say that one part of the slice belongs to the left and the other one belongs to the right if this time slice it goes through a bifurcation surface. So what I'm saying is that if we consider this is a time slice in ADS at the t equals zero slice, and if this is the Ryota-Kainagi surface, then then we see that there are only solutions to the replicated geometry if we consider the replica trick in slices that go through the extremal surface. So naively, all the slices in this causal diamond should be good, but only in these ones one can do the replica trick. So quote unquote, this is like saying that the entanglement wedge is dual to the trees of to the range for Q close to one somehow. That's why I don't think there is a good definition of tracing out in the bulk, because with Q it should be different where it lies. So for the ranges, this fixed point will be in a different place. So let me wrap up. So in the situ symmetric case, one can go to Euclidean time and make sense of the analytic continuation of the replicated geometry in the bulk. In the Lorentzian case, we have used this Schneider's van Rees path integral, this real-time path integrals, to set up the boundary conditions and then generalize the previous derivation to dynamical situations. And behind it, there is an intuitive picture of tracing out in the bulk. So let me conclude with some open questions. So a question will be whether one can derive HRT without using the replica trick. That will be certainly quite nice. And I think that there should be a way to prove this just relying on gauge invariants in the bulk. So a question will be if we have a space-like slice in the bulk and the work conditions, we can divide the diffeomorphisms, the time diffeomorphisms that are equivalent to this space-like slice into two. So this is like somehow a dual of tracing out. This may look like a dual of tracing out in the boundary, and then a question will be whether one can go the other way somehow. If we have two causal wedges or something, whether one can under some conditions and some entanglement constraint how to glue this to space time somehow. So yeah, that was all. Thank you very much.
Questions? So I'm going way back to the beginning in Canderas and Reeves.
Yeah.
What's continuous, not continuous on this special surface?
So the extrinsic curvatures are. Well, continuous or this, well, so extrinsic curvatures in the space-like slice are continuous or is this continuous depending how you look. Well, you have some continuity. The extrinsic curvatures are the same. If you go from one, you constrain the extrinsic curvatures to be the same, yeah.
But if I tried to glue them this way, it'd be the opposite.
It will be discontinuous in that case, yes. So it's only continuous if you think about it.
The field derivatives as well.
You have an absolute value of. If you think about time as going from minus infinity to plus infinity, you have an absolute value of time there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm not really solving the field equations on this surface.
No. We are always considering slightly below this surface. So we are solving the field equations very below the sigma naught surface. But this is actually what we need in order to be able to feel the extrinsic curvatures in the time direction. So
there's some kind of limiting process that I'm...
Yeah, sorry, limits. Sorry. Yeah, what we're actually considering is solving the field equations below this surface. And then,
isn't there a tension between you saying that this cosmic string lies right on the surface and saying that the field equations are satisfied?
Well, then you shouldn't think about a cosmic string. You should just think about some boundary conditions here. The cosmic string is just a cartoon, it's just a picture, but it's not, but you should think about some boundary condition for, so you should think about this as just setting up some boundary condition for the metric or fields close.
Okay, and that'll be part of the boundary.
Yeah, Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you should just think of solving the equation of motion with given these boundary conditions below this space-like surface.
You can use a spatial surface that is above the place of the singularity, right?
Or below, yeah.
No, it has to the bulk has to contain the singularity, right?
No, but you didn't want it. You wanted to put it right on.
Right on the surface.
Yeah, but these are, I mean, you should think of, there is no singularity and these are boundary conditions.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It has to pass through the singularity.
What has to pass through the singularity?
The final surface.
Yeah.
Aside from this strong subadditivity, do we have like a non-trivial example where the HRT proposal like can be shown to look like it's correct? Like a specific independent space time.
Yeah, we have all these local quenches or global quenches, space times, the entanglement tsunami. Then we have Hermann Maldacin, which is equivalent more or less. Yeah. I mean, I would say that, that's more or less everything that you can do, just throw stuff into the bulk and see how it thermalizes. And then, what else? Any other application of HRT?
You have that the relative entropy null surface goes to zero.
What was that? Could you repeat it?
So if you consider null surfaces, then the relative entropy goes to zero there. But is that in time dependent space times?
Yeah.
One more? I guess this is in your question, trying to understand what the font, but the sigma naught, that's going to depend on the interval or the region you choose.
Yes.
Like every new region, I'm going to be choosing different surfaces. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the gradient entropy is defined by our region, so every region will have a different surface. Yeah.
I mean, if you have an entire Cauchy space the boundary, then you would have a what I would call an old FRW rate of bulk Cauchy slices. So it's even a boundary for but as I thought through, if you pick a subregion, you found that FRW rate can peak out these butterfly surfaces, the Cauchy slices that sort of end up anchored on the extreme surface. I mean, it's better to think in the language Adam likes. Pick all the Cauchy slices that lie in the FRW edge, and you do the max min on all those slices, and at the end of the day, you'll end up with the ones that actually
Okay, so if there are no other questions, let's thank you.